And now, Chuck and Winkler, live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio.
Listen up, people!
On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. That's Chuck Freeman. I'm Bart Winkler. We'll talk some Bucks with Gary Wolfel. We'll talk some Bucks with John Horst, GM of the team, to join us at 9:30. We've also got some hot stove to talk about with Adam McKelvey at 9. So a lot of good information to be had. And we'll start sort of our red carpet of guests with Aaron Nagler, CheeseheadTV.com. We've been talking about this a little bit, Aaron, so I'm going to ask you where the flaw is. Because as long as it's possible, we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it as long as it's possible. So the Packers to make the playoffs. To make the playoffs, they've got to win out. You need three teams to lose a game: Eagles, Washington, Carolina, and you need Minnesota to lose two or three. Where will the Packers run into a roadblock with those scenarios?
Sunday in Chicago, most likely.
Yeah, I think that's.
I get, you know, everyone's all excited, and I keep getting people in my mentions and in my inbox, you know, oh, they got to run the table and. Well, yeah, okay, before we get to the and, can we talk about the first part? They have to run the table. I mean, this is a team that hasn't been able to string together wins all season. So, I'm all excited. I'm all great. I'm happy the Packer fans are jazzed about it. But, look, Sunday is no joke, and I know the Packers have won down there 8 years in a row, and that's great. They even beat him with Brett Hundley last year. Awesome. But this is a whole different animal they're dealing with this season. And can they go down there and do it? Sure. Absolutely. It's the NFL. Do I expect them to? No, I do not.
So you're saying the most likely scenario not to happen is the Packers not winning their three games, right?
Keeping up their end of the bargain. Yeah. Exactly. And let's face it. I mean, Minnesota is a very Jekyll and Hyde team at the moment. So, I mean, the idea that they're going to lose two out of three, I guess, isn't impossible. I mean, especially if you watch their performance last night. But again, that all is predicated on the Packers taking care of their end of the bargain. And as excited as everybody is over a big decisive victory over a pretty bad Falcons team at home, going down to Chicago, playing that defense, that's a whole other ballgame.
Okay. All right. I mean, this past weekend, I was saying yesterday, I didn't think that there was anything surprising that came out of that game. I mean, went to the game, I saw it, I watched it, covered it, and didn't think nothing really surprised me. The Packers went out there and demolished a team that really didn't have much hope either. And that usually happens when a team fires a coach. So I don't know. Did you take anything out of this game against the Falcons?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with you in that nothing was very surprising. You know, anything that would have happened that on the field that Sunday, I don't think would have been shocking. But, coming out, they did play with a little bit more energy. They were a little bit more efficient on third down, two things that they definitely had been lacking over the course of the last month or so prior to Mike's dismissal. I did like kind of the fight you saw from the defense, because this is an offensive team in the Falcons. You know, regardless of what their season has gone like, et cetera, I mean, this is a team that has given them major, major problems. And I thought, you know, the way they marched down the field that opening drive, you thought, here we go, it's going to be a long day. And then I thought the defense really responded. And I thought, you know, the performance you saw out of Jaire Alexander was very, encouraging in that's one of the better receivers in the NFL, Julio Jones. And he was tracking him the entire game. And, of course, Jones is going to get his because he is one of the best. But I think you've got to be encouraged there. There were definitely, you saw Bashaud Breeland's big pick six. I mean, that's the kind of play they've been lacking all season. So it was nice to see a little fight out of the defense on offense. They still, you know, prone to some lulls there, but for the most part, they moved the ball a little better. Aaron looked a little sharper. So, I mean, it's promising, definitely, no doubt.
Aaron Nagler, CheeseheadTV.com. Good stuff with Bomani Jones, by the way, in your live video where you guys watched the game on the YouTube.
Thanks very much. Yeah, Bomani is a friend. Been talking about doing something together for a long time, and finally found an opportunity, and he came on board and took time out of his busy weekend. So that was nice. He's a good guy.
I called it the YouTube. Thanks for glossing over that.
Well, you know, I don't want to point out the foils and fobbles of the old guard when it comes to the media. You know, I know this newfangled internet stuff sometimes mystifies you guys, but
no,
keep trucking along.
Yeah, for sure. Aaron Nagler joining us, CheeseheadTV.com. Aaron Rodgers, I said if he had a big game, I was going to be very mad. I said if he goes for 404 touchdowns, I'm going to be mad. If he would have looked terrible, I probably would have been mad too. I think he was right in between there. He looked very good at times. Nothing like overwhelming, like, oh, it's clear I got McCarthy fired sort of stuff. What did you think from Rodgers' play on Sunday?
Yeah, it's funny because you didn't see the kind of pat inaccuracy we've seen a lot of the year. I thought his passes were a little crisper. He did a better job leading guys, especially in some of that horizontal stuff. But for the most part, you know, it wasn't, as you say, it wasn't drastically different. I think Joe Philbin did a really good job getting him in a rhythm early. And that's something I've been yelling to the sky about all season long, where they've had these game plans where it really is apparent that they're trying to push the ball down the field. They're trying to, you know, get him to take these deep reads. And I think Philbin did a really good job of, especially early on, that first initial drive, you know, quick rhythm throws, get your quarterback working, get him. And that was always the book on Favre. When, you know, get him in a rhythm early. And I thought Philbin did a really good job of that. And that kind of set the table, so to speak, and allowed Rodgers to get into a rhythm, get him to the game. And he kind of took it from there.
You think there's a use for Jamal Williams? I mean, he had four carries for like 19 yards, 17 yards, whatever it was. Do you think there's, when they first drafted him, I really, really like him. Now, they're not using him as much as I thought because of the emergence of Aaron Jones. But do you think Williams can have a serviceable NFL career with this team?
I do. I think, you know, I think it's hard to take Aaron Jones off the field, though they did that initially. And I thought Philbin's explanation for that was really weird. But, I get they like Williams, and clearly they wanted to get him some work early. They kind of wanted to soften up the defense, and he's a good battering ram for that scenario. But, I mean, ultimately, I think he's perfect in spot duty. I think he's good in 2 minute because he's so good in pass pro. The problem there is, of course, you don't want to take off a guy in Aaron Jones who is just electric with the ball in his hands. Now, that said, you did see Aaron Jones a couple of times. There were two plays in particular on Sunday where his kind of mix-up in pass protection led to Rodgers getting flushed out, Rodgers getting sacked. So that's kind of the thing that's an ongoing issue there, where you love the explosiveness and you love the playmaking ability Jones gives you. But if you're in a dire situation and you need some points and you need to, you know, move the ball and you need to protect your quarterback, you probably want Jamal Williams back there because you know he is rock solid in pass protection. So I think that's kind of where he'll live for his time in Green Bay as long as he's there. I just don't see how you can, for all the comfort he gives you as a pass protector, the name of the game is moving the football and scoring points, and Jones is definitely the better option there.
Brett Favre was on TMZ, threw out some names for who he might suggest for the coaching search. I'll play that here.
I think, and keeping in mind that Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback would be great choices, at least consideration, and that's Darrell Bevell, who Aaron knows well, and took this year off. Young, energetic, great coach. Brian Daboll, who was at Alabama last year as offense coordinator, was my quarterback coach for the Jets. I think he's the OC right now in Buffalo. Very young, energetic, creative mind. And another that comes to mind is Doug Peterson. Now, you know, I don't know if they could, you know, get him from Philly or if he would even consider that. But there's another young guy who is very creative.
Brett Favre suggesting, really, as Chuck said earlier, his golfing buddies to be the next.
Right? Pretty much so.
Head coach.
What other universe are people suggesting Darrell Bevell as the head coach of the Green Bay Packers?
We really haven't heard his name. And Doug
like
Peterson.
5 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, his name got brought up for NFL jobs.
Yeah, and he got run out of town in Seattle because of his offense. I mean, that is absolutely Favre talking about his buddies. Maybe they share an agent. I don't know, but I kind of laughed when I heard that yesterday, especially when you led with Bevell. I'm like, oh, so it's just your friend. Okay, very good.
Well, I mean, let's throw those names into the giant bowl of names. John DeFilippo did not have a good night last night with the Vikings. Is there a guy, I know we talked about like the type of guy, but is there a guy or two that you have at the top of your wish list?
Yeah, I really like Zach Taylor out in L.A.
Sherman's really son-in-law.
I know. Ties to the franchise.
Yeah.
Call plays for Joe Philbin down there in Miami. He's had a really good run there in L.A. with McVay. I don't know about putting him right into the top spot, though. I think my dream scenario would be to steal Vic Fangio from Chicago and then bring Zach Taylor in as offensive coordinator. I mean, I don't know how feasible that is, but we're talking, months away now, and I'm just dreaming up stuff. I mean, that's probably my number one. And I know people kind of balk at Fangio's age, but I mean, he's at the point now where he absolutely deserves a shot as a head coach. And what better way than to weaken your rival and get a really good football coach? The question obviously would be who would they bring in as OC. But I think all the names that get thrown around, you hear Josh McDaniels, you hear DeFilippo, like you said. I mean, none of that really inspires you. I mean, that was the thing about the whole talk about firing McCarthy, et cetera, was always like, well, okay, but you better know who you got in mind, at least one or two guys. And you look at this field right now, and I'm just wondering, like, which way is Mark Murphy going to go? Because I don't see a real inspiring, obvious choice. So they got the work cut up for him, and I guess that's why he's going to lean on Gutekunst the way he is.
Yeah. None of those names. How about is there an offensive coordinator? There's nobody out there that really inspires you at all? Not the guy from New England?
I mean, like, you mentioned DeFilippo. I mean, he's had a real – I mean, talk about the bloom coming off the rose on a name. I mean, his work with the Vikings has been less than inspiring. Of course, McCarthy was kind of in the same boat. You know, when he came on board from San Francisco, he had really bad, really, really kind of simplistic bad offense in San Francisco. He turned that around in Green Bay, obviously. So maybe DeFilippo, but – there's Eric Bieniemy in Kansas City, who's followed the path of Matt Nagy, who's in Chicago and doing great work. But he hasn't really called the plays. I mean, Nagy at least had a stretch where Reed gave him the play calling duties. We haven't seen any of that from Bieniemy. So I don't know. That's what I mean when I say there's not an obvious choice that says. And I know lots of Packers fans feel Josh McDaniels would be a great fit, and maybe he would be. I mean, he had that time in Denver. He had that kind of really bad moment with the Colts where he left them at the altar, so to speak. That kind of leaves a bad taste in your mouth. There's no doubt about his acumen as a play caller. There's no question there. You just wonder. I mean, you look at the track record of assistants under Belichick going other places, it's not good. So you have yet to find someone from that tree who's had a real success. So, I don't know. I that's what I mean when I say there's not really an inspiring slam dunk choice here.
Well, that's why we're spending our shows talking about the long shot of a playoff possibility, because we don't want to get into that portion.
Joe Philbin takes him to the promised land, and he gets the full-time gig. There you go.
All right. Well, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Aaron Nagler, CheeseheadTV.com. Keep up the good work. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, guys.
Aaron Nagler joining us. You can follow him on Twitter at Aaron Nagler. And again, CheeseheadTV.com. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our communities since 1935.
Well, you and I are the only ones to go there so far, I think. Remotely go there, even, as far as the Packers getting into the playoffs.
Do you want to go there with Gary Wolfel?
I would say Gary would be opposite of us in that one.
How about we do an interview with Gary next and we just talk Packers?
Because
people don't like when he talks Bucks, apparently.
Well,
not apparently, for sure.
No, you always say that, but I disagree with you on that. You're hearing, I think you're hearing just a handful of people on that one.
I'm hearing a mob. There's a mob.
Well, I don't know.
Coming after our boy, White Gary.
Well, I don't see why. If there was, Gary's been on the station for 12 years. I have not, until like recent, this is the first I've heard of it. Meanwhile, Gary's been breaking stories left and right, including the Dellavedova story, so I don't know.
There's people outside picketing right now that they don't want to give him airtime. Oh, actually, that's Cody. He wants the airtime.
He wants airtime.
No.
I want to hear what Gary Wolfel's got to say about the team.
It's Chuck and Winkler. We'll talk to him next. You want to talk about a Bucks insider? We'll talk to John Horst at 9:30, GM of the team. He will join us at 9:30. That's about an hour from now. Gary up next here, Chuck and Winkler on The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. Adam McKelvey will join us, talk some hot stove at 9. He's out in Vegas for the winter meetings. We will talk to John Horst, Bucks GM, 9:30. Chuck and Winkler on the Fan. Right now, we head over to WolfelsPressBox.com and talk to our guy, Gary Wolfel. Gary, what's up, buddy?
The master.
Hey, guys. You know what? After watching the game last night, I think Paul Pierce is right.
On?
Did you hear his comment about a week to 2 weeks ago?
No.
He said he thought Duke could beat the Cavaliers.
Oh, no, I think that's no.
No, I'm being facetious.
Yeah, no.
God-awful team, though, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. I mean, they put
the Cavs beat the Sixers, so that means Duke could beat the Sixers, too.
Yeah.
And Kansas beat Duke, right?
Yeah, and they got 6 victories already this year, so, I mean, it's not like they're winless. They're a bad team, but, you know, they don't have much going for them.
How would you like to be Larry Drew, you know, his last year in Milwaukee? I don't know if you guys knew this or not. About maybe 3 weeks, 4 weeks into the season, Herb Cole gave his blessings for the team to tank, okay? So what does Larry Drew do? He helps tank, you know, for the rest of the season, right?
Yeah.
And for his well-done job, he gets fired.
Yeah, that was 2014. That was the Jabari Parker deal.
Exactly. So now I wonder if this team's probably even worse than that one, you know? So.
Well, that's, yeah. This Bucks team, do you look at them? I mean, we deep enough into the season where you look at this team as a legitimate one of the best teams in the NBA?
In the NBA?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, along with probably 8, 9 other teams. I mean, the Western Conference, for example, okay? Do you know where Houston is right now?
Well, Houston's struggling.
Houston's out of the race. Yeah. There was another team that's pretty decent. Houston, a lot of those teams are bunched up right now.
Yeah.
Exactly. Houston is the second worst team in the Western Conference, and this is a team some people thought would go to the finals. So that Western Conference is absolutely brutal.
Gary, Chuck and I a few years ago made a bet on Giannis being an MVP someday, and this would have been, I think it was April of 2016 or earlier than that, and I said, Giannis will be an MVP someday, and Chuck said, no way, and I said, $100, and then we said 5-1 odds. So if and when Giannis is the MVP, Chuck's going to owe me $500. You think he's on track to do that right now?
Chuck will help you pay for it.
Yeah, yeah. That's a couple of.
I mean, he's got to be in the hunt.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's probably like what 5, 6 guys that you could probably consider at this point.
I think in June I'll be doling out $500. June is when they award that, don't they? Or April or June, whenever it is.
Yeah, in the summer, yeah. Well, I'll tell you the guy that I'm sure everybody will be talking about, just a matter of time for that, is Westbrook. Have you seen what he's done lately?
On and off.
Yeah.
5 of the last 7 games, he's had triple doubles. And then on top of it, their team is leading the Western Conference, so. If I was going to bet on anybody at this point, it'd be Russell Westbrook.
All right. Well, the Bucks right now, Chris Middleton did not play in a game last week. Shortly after he was, he was benched in the fourth quarter of a game against the Knicks.
Okay, he benched on a Saturday.
Benched on a Saturday.
And they didn't play again until Wednesday.
Didn't play Wednesday. An hour before tip-off, we learned that he was out for personal reasons. Did you report otherwise that there was something else besides personal reasons, besides Middleton not being in that ball game?
Yeah, I tweeted out that he had a run-in with 2 of the assistant coaches and with Budenholzer, and apparently it wasn't pretty. They went at it pretty good. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see if that gets resolved pretty quickly or if it's going to linger or what's going to happen with it, but all I know is since that happened, Chris Middleton hasn't remotely been the same player that he was.
Is there a problem between Middleton and Budenholzer?
I don't know. I don't know if it's that deep or if it was just a spur of the moment thing, spontaneous. Mm-hmm. But when guys go at it like that, it's not good.
I missed that report, Gary. Who told you all this again?
Who told me this?
Yeah. Who's your source again? I forgot. Who's your source? I keep forgetting.
Don't tell anybody, but it was Bart Winkler.
Oh, God, no. You think I know anything going on in there? Kevon Looney and the Warriors show up at an elementary school in town, and my brother works for Warriors PR, and I didn't even know about that happening until it did.
He didn't even tell you about that?
No. He's like, oh, yeah, I forgot.
Jeez.
Wow.
Oh. Okay.
Wow, what a brother. I'd be upset.
Interesting. I mean,
players and coaches have feuds all the time, but again, some of them, you know, dissolve pretty quickly. Others drag on, so we'll see how this plays out. But I think in the last four games, Chris Middleton is 15 of 50 from the field.
So it's affecting him.
Huh?
So it's affecting him.
Well, he's not shooting the ball well. I mean, that's only 30% from a guy that's shooting around 50%. So, you know, hopefully for his sake, he'll bust out of it.
And again, the person that told you this was who?
Right.
We got to know. You're the only one who I saw do the report.
He's not going to tell you who you heard it from.
Well, I didn't see anyone else make the report, so I'm just asking who his source is. I think that's fair.
No,
I ask everyone we have on who their sources are, don't I?
No.
Oh, well, then I'll start doing that today.
No, and nobody's ever told us, and nobody ever will.
John Horse, but hey, you know.
Well, we'll see what Horse says about 9:30 here this morning. The trades that went down, Matthew Dellavedova goes to the Cavs. I don't think he looked that thrilled to be a member of the Cavs when he came back last night and playing Pfizer Forum. John Henson as well. Bucks bring on George Hill and then essentially free up some cap room. So it looks like they're going to have to make some decisions between Middleton and Bledsoe and Brogdon. Where would you think that the Bucks should focus their money next offseason?
Middleton, without a doubt. You know, another guy you forgot about, Brooke Lopez.
Yeah, Lopez, mm-hmm. I did, yeah.
I mean, I guarantee you he's not going to play for $3 million next season.
Yeah. Yeah, he helped his stock definitely this year.
I mean, he'll double or triple that easily, I would think.
I was surprised the Bucks got him for $3 million to begin with.
Yeah, that was kind of surprising, but, you know, that was market. Obviously, if you would have got more from somebody else, you would have went somewhere else. So far, that's turned out to be a very, very good move.
I mean, Lopez, man, they use him. They market him a lot. I mean, you look on different commercials and ads and all that. His face is everywhere in the Pfizer Forum. Man, they use him a lot to market him.
I wonder what's going through Jason Kidd's mind these days, because he wanted Brooke Lopez in the worst way, right? And they were never able to pull it off. So,
Jason Kidd's probably thinking about how great the league would be if all 30 teams were coached by Jason Kidd.
What is Jason? What is he doing anyway?
Yeah, who are the people that said, oh, Jason Kidd will find a job again?
Where is he?
No,
what is
he never
doing?
Will. He'll never work again. And he won't even work at an Arby's.
Oh, God.
After he got fired by the
You boss, trust right? Jason Kidd to get your Arby's order right?
Hey, if Isaiah Thomas keeps getting employed, Jason Kidd's going to get employed.
Yeah. You know what, Chuck, though? He interviewed for two jobs this summer, and obviously he came up short. So.
Yeah, head coaching jobs, right?
And those two jobs were with people that he had a pretty good rapport with. So
we'll they were favors.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, I'm not so sure he'll ever coach again.
I think he can get an assistant job somewhere.
Oh, sure. Yeah, without a doubt.
You're talking about a job. I mean, to get a head coaching job, he would have to maybe get an assistant job and then maybe fall into a head coach as an interim, do a good job as an interim coach, maybe get the head coaching job.
Exactly. I totally agree with that scenario.
Gary Wolfel on Twitter, Gary Wolfel. You can find his work at wolfelspressbox.com. Gary, what's more realistic? Bucks go to the Eastern Conference Finals or Packers get to the playoffs?
Bucks to the Eastern Conference Finals. What are the odds of the Packers?
Okay, so here's what needs to happen for the Packers. They need to win out.
They got
to
win out, right?
They got to win out. You need Washington and the Eagles and Carolina each to lose just one of their remaining three, but then the Vikings have to lose two of their remaining three. They've got Miami, the Bears, and Detroit. Chuck and I have decided as a show that we're going to be the show that talks playoffs until they're mathematically eliminated. And even if the Packers do lose this weekend, technically there will still be a mathematical way for them to make the playoffs. It will get a lot harder, but we're going to be that show that goes until the very, very last breath.
Hey, this from the guys who were in the playoff race for the Brewers from April through last couple of years, right to the end.
Well, good for you. I mean, there's, a line in the newspaper business that you could run a Packers story every day, and it would be the most read story in the paper. So,
well, that's why we have you on to talk Bucks 15 minutes a week.
Absolutely. Anytime you want my sources, Bart, just call me, okay?
Yeah, text me the name of the source when we're done. Gary, appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Gary Wolfel joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our communities.
All right. Well, we found out that a little bit, according to Gary, there's a little bit of a rift between Middleton and the head coach.
See, that's why I want to know who told Gary that, because if Gary's the only one reporting it and not the other guys we talked to about the Bucks, I just want to make sure that the source that Gary has, I can connect them with the other guys, so that they can all have the same information. You know what I'm saying?
That's not how it works, though.
Well,
that's what's called getting a scoop.
You've got the guys that are covering the team every day not reporting anything.
Well, that'd be like those guys telling Gary any scoops they get, that which is never going to happen.
But Matt and Eric are like, they're like on road trips and
Matt
stuff.
Velasquez and Eric, yeah, they're with the team all the time.
Right, and Gary's not.
Yeah.
So that's why when Gary puts out a report, people get mad.
Too bad.
Well, then they get mad at us for having him on.
Well, I don't care. Gary's going to continue to be on.
Well, I'm just telling you what's going on.
Okay. Well, is this Twitter again?
This is Chuck. There was a Gary Wolfel chant at a Bucks game.
Yeah.
The other day.
Okay. Well, good. Good, man.
Gary's become larger than life.
I think you embellish it a little bit. No.
No, Chuck, I downplay it.
Yeah, I think you embellish a little.
Gary's
a good guy.
I agree. I like Gary a lot.
He's a great guy.
Gary's a friend.
Yes, he's a great friend of mine. Yes.
I'm telling you, when he puts out a report, people
self-combust. And I'm telling you, as a guy who's known Gary for a long, long time, Gary ain't faking these stories.
I'm not saying that he is.
I'm just telling you, he's not.
I'm just saying that when we have him on, I am assuming the role of the liaison between the mob and Gary.
Okay. Well,
so that's what I feel like I'm doing.
All right. Well, I don't feel it. But if you want to do that, that's fine.
So when people yell at us, you either see his reports and don't know about him, or we try to figure out who his source is.
Well, I mean, I don't ever have to justify what Gary does, because Gary's been doing this longer than anybody. If Gary says something I believe, Gary, I've known like Gary long enough. He says this happens, I believe him.
I'm just saying I'm the liaison.
Okay.
That's what we're doing here. Hey, you want some real inside Buck stuff? John Horst, 9:30. We'll join the program GM of the Bucks. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Who stood out last night for the Bucks? Let's get the Chili's MVB from last night's Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show. Dial 799-1250, and you could win free food from Chili's. Chili's is back, baby. Back! This is Chuck and Winkler on the only station Bucks fans need. Sports Radio, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
108.92, the final last night. Bucks beat the Cavs at Fiserv Forum. Again, we're doing this on behalf of the Bucks. It is Fiserv Forum, not the Fiserv Forum. It's got to get everybody on the same track. And then the naming rights will go somewhere else, and we'll have to start all over again. Who was the Chili's MVB in this one, 108-92? Let's see, 799-1250. Let's take Bob in West Bend. Bob, Chili's on the line. Don't blow this. Who was the Chili's MVB?
Eric Bledsoe.
Was it? Eric Bledsoe.
Hey, Chuck. Hey, Bart. He had 20 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 for 5 from beyond the arc. All of those leading the team. Eric Bledsoe, your Chili's MVB in a 108-92 Bucks win over the Cavs.
Oh, the always chipper Anthony Mandela on the postgame show last night. One of our fine producers/host here on the station. Bob, congrats. You've won free food to Chili's. More Bucks coverage coming up. We'll talk to John Horst at 9:30 as the Bucks get the 108-92 victory. I want to talk to him about how those trades went down. We tweeted out, and you guys can use Facebook or Twitter to get some questions in, and we'll try to get at least a couple. Use the hashtag AskHorst. But the question that they were talking about on the postgame show is, who should be the priority with all the money you've kind of given yourself next offseason? Should it be Lopez? Should it be Middleton, Brogdon, Bledsoe? We'll ask Horst about that. We'll see what he says, but we'll ask him.
Yeah, I mean, they got some contracts that are due up next year, and guys were playing an important part of this team. And pieces, important pieces around Giannis. But, hey, three-game road trip coming up for the Bucks, man. They got to play Cleveland Friday night, okay, which the easiest of the three games. Detroit next week, starting off with a tough game against the Pacers tomorrow night.
Dude, they got a jam-packed December.
Sure do.
They got tomorrow, Friday, as you mentioned, and then what?
Next Monday against Detroit, is it?
Four next week. They play Christmas Day.
Yeah, they play Anthony Davis next Wednesday at Pfizer Forum.
At Pfizer Forum.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah. So, Denver last year, New Orleans was way, it was a Sunday afternoon game I was at. New Orleans was way down in the game against the Bucks. Rallied and beat the Bucks. I think Brogdon missed a three at the, not Brogdon, I think it was Bledsoe that missed a three at the buzzer. But they lost, they blew a big lead against New Orleans. So yeah, this is a very big stretch for the Bucks coming up here.
Friday was pretty insane at Pfizer this weekend. You had the Warriors come to town. Really a big game feel. You had some national TV attention on that one as well. But then Saturday, Marquette gets the win over Wisconsin. The new polls have come out. In the AP, the Badgers slip from 12 to 16. So Badgers, you know, you lose to a decent Marquette team at their place. You're not going to fall too much. They're 8-2. They're number 16th in the country. Marquette is in that poll at 21, also at 8-2 after their big win. The coaches' poll, not so kind. 19th is Wisconsin, and Marquette is first one out. So not in the 25 in the coaches' poll. But I think that that game being nationally televised, that game going to overtime, that game was a good highlight of what these two programs have for a national audience. And they delivered, man. You go back to some of these rivalry games, maybe one team wins by 10, 15. It's not as exciting. One team's up, one team's down. You had two teams. Either team could have won that game at any time. And Marquette got the victory at home, and they were clearly ecstatic about it. It was a good game, and I think a good representation of what basketball is right now collegiately in the state.
Well, you look at the last 2 weeks. Marquette on a Saturday has beaten a top 12 team. They beat Kansas State 2 weeks ago on a Saturday, and then Wisconsin on this past Saturday. So, yeah, they deserve to be in the top 25, and they got a good team. They're going to challenge for the Big East title this year. I think they really are. They're gonna make some noise in that conference. So, but in Wisconsin, I think they play Savannah State tomorrow night, so they get back to non-conference play.
Yeah, Badgers only play three more times the rest of 2018.
Yeah, that's with exams. Like, Marquette doesn't play this week because they got exams. I think the same thing with Wisconsin. Maybe next week.
Marquette's got Savannah State at home tonight.
Marquette does?
Wisconsin, my bad. Grambling on the 22nd.
Wisconsin is Thursday, right? Against Savannah State?
Oh, yeah. Wisconsin's Thursday. And then Grambling, and then Western Kentucky. So they played a couple Big Ten games, and now they don't play the Big Ten again until...
They play at Western Kentucky, don't they?
Next year, yeah, at Western Kentucky.
Which is odd.
On the 29th.
Which is odd for a Big Ten team to be playing at a mid-major arena like that.
Marquette's only got three games as well. North Dakota and Buffalo and then Southern.
Buffalo's going to be a good game. Buffalo's not bad. And then they get into conference play. They start conference play on New Year's Day against St. John's.
Why did I think the Badgers were tonight? What am I going to do tonight? There's nothing on TV.
Well, it would be Savannah State anyway.
Well, it's still something to put my eyeballs on.
Savannah State. Yeah, there's nobody playing tonight. Nobody in action. But as far as Marquette, their first game against St. John's right out of the chute, that's two of the better teams in the conference.
It's Chuck and Winkler. We're served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. More on the Twitter Tuesday question coming up. If you missed that, you can win free food at Perkins. Basically, we're asking you who your favorite coach is, and Brett Favre has led his input to this question, so we'll do that coming up. Adam McKelvey will talk some baseball winter meetings at 9, and Bucks GM John Horst will join us at 9:30. It is cold. Not as cold today as it was yesterday. You had to scrape the frost out of your windows, unless you fired up that baby, that car, before you got in it. That's what they're trying to do at Sound Decisions, give you guys remote car starters so you can at least have a little bit less stress in the wintertime. It's all about, look, we love living here. We're not going to move. We know the climate is what it is. So now you got to find ways to beat winter. You got to get the upper hand over Mother Nature, and these remote car starters are the way to do it, because you get right in your car and it's toasty and everything's taken care of and you just hop and you're good to go. I mean, that drive to work can be very frigid if you're in a car that is not warm and heated on some of these really cold mornings. Sound Decisions, they have done audio systems in vehicles. Maybe if you need that, that's another good Christmas present idea. They've been doing that since 1972, and they've actually done a lot of the cars of athletes that have come through Milwaukee through the last 40 years too. So you can check them out for that, but they also sell more remote car starters to warm up that vehicle than anybody else. They've got the leading brands all there. They've got the most competitive prices on the market, and they've got quick installation. It took me 90 minutes to get mine done, and then they show you how it works. They give you the starter, and they say, "Here's do you understand this? Press the button, and it'll start." And I did. I understood. It's very easy. Easy to do. They'll get you started. Sound Decisions, 262-633-8300, 262-633-8300. Get yourself started on a remote car starter system for your vehicle. You can also check them out on Facebook or the website, brightpinkmailbox.com. Sound Decisions website is brightpinkmailbox.com. There's a story behind that. Chris and the guys will tell you when you get in. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins 105.7 FM, The Fan. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. Lots going on in Vegas. We'll get the latest from the winter meetings. Adam McKelvey, our MLB insider. We'll talk to him in 10 minutes. Adam McKelvey joining us here. And then Bucks GM John Horst will join the program. Want to ask him about that trade, what it means for the future. And I'm going to ask him, Chuck, a day in the life of John Horst. Mm-hmm. It's probably going to be more boring than I'm imagining. I'm imagining John Horst sitting there at his desk with 9 phones, constantly calling people.
You know what I like?
Checking Twitter on his burner account.
But you know what I like, though? I'll go to Google, and I'll Google somebody, and I'll put day in the life. And then, like, just to find, like, a day in the life of, I don't know, anybody. You know, Anderson from CNN. Anybody.
Anderson Cooper.
Anderson Cooper from CNN. I'll put, like, a day in the life of Anderson Cooper. And he'll say everything the guy does. Still reads newspapers. Gets newspapers delivered to his house. Still reads the newspaper every day. Instead of going online, he just like reads it right out of the newspaper.
Oh, wow.
So I'll do that once in a while. Just Google. You know, when you're in Lemira, you got a lot of idle time sometimes on your hand on a December night. So I'll put like day in the life of, Anderson Cooper. Boom.
Day in the life of
Bradley Cooper, maybe.
Chuck.
Well, you detailed it. You know what? We still laugh about it. You detailed the weekend of Chuck Freeman one time, and you had it right down.
Oh, yeah, I got you pegged.
Yes.
But how come when I just tried to put day in the life of Chuck Freeman, it said, you are not allowed to view this at work? What the hell are you doing, guy?
Then I would stop right there.
Yeah.
You know, I'd stop right there if we don't want HR to come roaring into the building, into the studio. So, but yeah, a day in the life of John Horst, which is probably pretty busy.
Oh, yeah. Well, he made a couple of trades.
Yeah.
Good part about those trades, too, is that when they made those trades, they can trade George Hill and Jason Smith again this season, because Friday was the deadline to then reissue those guys in another trade. But it's got to be part of a multiplayer trade. So they can still trade him, but just in a multiplayer deal.
I mean, being the GM of the Milwaukee Bucks, I mean, that's a pretty large task. But how about being like a GM of an NFL team where you're in charge of 53 guys, the practice squad, scouting the entire NFL for the draft, free agency? Man, instead of being in charge of 15 and maybe drafting a couple of players in the NBA draft, NFL, you're in charge of everything.
Yeah, well, what about MLB?
MLB, too.
Stern's got to know about every, like, well, obviously every level of baseball, AAA, AA, and single A, but then mm-hmm. you got to know about the Fall League and the Dominican Leagues
but at least
and all
the,
this stuff.
But at least that then he's got a farm director. He's got a farm director who handles that, and you know he you know aligns up who's got a firsthand knowledge of the entire amateur system. So that's at least there. But I mean, for the Packers, they got pro personnel guy. But man, you're in charge of all that too. God, that's a GM of an NFL team. That's some high pressured stuff. That's nonstop too.
We'll talk to John Horst coming up 9:30. Chuck says that I know the day in the life of Chuck Freeman. Here is what we were talking about, what we were referencing, is Chuck and Winkler, Adam McKelvey next on The Fan.
Shannon, my girlfriend, says I'm very predictable. I'll ask you guys. I say that's what I want to ask you guys then.
Here's Chuck's weekend.
Okay.
Tomorrow you'll come in, you'll wear, I don't know, your Alabama sweatshirt or your Bryant and Stratton College pullover. Sometime between 10 and noon, you'll go to the WAC and take a shower.
Okay.
You're going to go to the Miller Park. You're going to take a selfie in the press box. With a camera that's never in focus.
You look caught off guard yeah. every selfie you take.
By your own selfie. Saturday, you're going to want to go golfing. You somehow convinced your son that it's fun to go with you. Who is 7 years old.
Okay.
Sunday, you're going to go to the game again. The only problem is I'm not sure where to slot you eating at a Mexican restaurant in your weekend with triple orders of chips and salsa. So are you predictable? I guess I would say yes.